Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California, with Andy Stevens, Owen Main, and Luke Johnson.
Hot stuff. It's so hot right now.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another installment of the Fansmanship.com podcast. We got all three of us back here battling our war wounds. We will tell you a little bit about that experience, but we are here present and excited to have another hour talking some hot topics and other things around the country and the world. And hey, guys, we have the NBA trade deadline that is coming up here on March 15th. Obviously, the largest name involved is Dwight Howard. Will he even be moved? Is it possible? Are there teams that even have enough chips to go ahead and make a deal for a guy like Dwight Howard? The Lakers obviously have been a favorite, and a couple others. We will talk a little bit about that.
Hot topic.
Absolutely, and it is February, which for baseball fans also means that the baseball season is coming up fast. We have a preview that we're going to have of the baseball season, not this episode, not this podcast, but coming up. But we do want to break down some things about Major League Baseball, Dodgers and Angels, among other teams that are going to be fun this year. So that'll be fun today.
Hot topic.
After that, we'll get into a little creation that I have here called Name Game, where we actually compare players as far as who's going to do what better than the other guy, and also kind of cross-pollinate other sports sometimes. So it'll be a good segment. Look forward to it. Stay tuned for it. And then towards the end of the show, we will be getting into what do we have here.
We got NCAA hoops, guys. Hey, it is that time of the year. Conference play is winding down. We'll talk about the bracket busters. Talk about our own local Cal Poly, who goes down big. Actually, real big. The men are going down. How they were, you know, favorites for the tournament, so on and so forth. And then break down the rest of the leagues across the country.
Sounds good. We will be right back. Get it started here on Fansmanship.com podcast.
Have you guys ever wanted to be up in the stars, looking down from the moon? Well, that's where I am right now. I'm up in the stars. I'm in the moon. I'm somewhere where no one's ever been before besides the astronauts. I'm here. You're down there. Ooh. Thank you very much.
Hey guys, welcome back.
Welcome back.
How'd you like that artistic genius? From one artistic genius to another, we have music and poetry before music. The moon, man, up in the moon.
It's a place where no one's ever been.
Besides the astronauts. Thanks a lot to Gary Sisler.
Thank you, Gary.
Gary, we love you.
He's one of a kind.
We love you, Moon Man.
Well, on a much less exciting note, I guess, or a funny note, we do have the trade deadline coming up for the NBA.
Very exciting.
March 15th.
A lot of talk.
It's exciting for some fans. It might not be fun or as funny, but it's exciting for sure.
Not really a lot of names that are being thrown out right now. We do have Dwight Howard. That's old news. A lot of teams have been pursuing Howard for quite some time. Howard seems to be the Cinderella looking for his magic slipper. It's gotten a little old, but that is important. Obviously, a guy like that can shift power in, I mean, interconference.
I don't know who it was, but I think somebody has definitely had a talk with him, and he's kind of come around because there for a while he was just kind of going through the motions and, you know, acting like a stereotypical guy that thought he was going to be traded.
A spoiled child.
Yeah, but now it seems like they've kind of turned the corner. What, have they won 7 in a row? Is that what we were saying?
Yeah, the Magic quietly won 8 of 9.
Yeah.
And they're looking good. I mean, that trade last year for Jason Richardson seems to be panning out.
And they have potential, too, because I was listening to the game on the radio coming in. They're at the Miami Heat today, mm-hmm. and they started the game down 22 to, like, 9 mm-hmm. and came back to take a 26-24 lead early in the second quarter, and that's when I got out of the truck. But so they have that ability still to come back and, you know, compete with the best teams in the league. So it's not like the Magic are down and out. A lot of people thought they were down and out earlier in the season because of this whole trade talk.
And here's the irony. I mean, Dwight Howard's, you know, been interested, obviously, and intrigued in leaving Orlando, like Shaquille O'Neal quite some time back, for a team like the Lakers, who are illustrious and obviously attractive, but a team that looks to be dilapidated and old. He's listened to offers from the New Jersey Nets, who we all know is sort of a joke. And the Magic have quietly, the last 3 years, won 53-plus games, were in the finals. Last year did lose in the first round badly, but it's not like going to L.A. is gonna change anything necessarily.
Right, so. he doesn't this year, certainly, the way the Lakers are looking. It doesn't look like that's going to be any better situation than he has in Orlando. Certainly you have the Bulls, you have the Heat.
Right. The West is a lot more wide open than the East.
The West is a lot more wide open.
The chances of him being able to take a team to the finals is a lot better.
The West is a lot older. The West is a lot smaller. And I mean, you know, Kendrick Perkins is one of the reasons why Oklahoma City mm-hmm. looks really good. But beyond that team, every other team in the West is kind of your old plodding kind of squad.
Definitely, if Dwight Howard makes a move right now to the Lakers, it is a now move, meaning he wants to win a championship now.
Right.
Well, so does because, Kobe. Kobe only has 2, maybe 3 years left.
The difference, you know, between him and Kobe Bryant is Kobe's got 5 and, you know, Dwight has 0. You know, Kobe does want that 6th, obviously.
Well, Kobe's the guy hunger in the league for that.
Well, no, yeah, but I mean, he's got 5, you know.
Right.
But, you know, Dwight has 0. Dwight's only 26. It would definitely be, you know, for Dwight, it would be a now move. Because we're talking in 3-4 years when Kobe's gone. Sure, the Lakers have a nice draw for, you know, other free agents, other trades, so on and so forth. But he might be stuck there in that sort of like Sadale Threat era, you know, after Magic and after Showtime when the Lakers won.
Which was actually one of my favorite teams.
Oh, yeah, it was fun. But, you know, it's not going to win you a championship.
No.
Which is interesting. But there have been a couple moves that the Lakers have been rumored in, correct?
Well, we have Steven Jackson there going after him in Milwaukee. Brandon Jennings has been in the talk.
Grasping at straws.
Jackson for Luke Walton and Matt Barnes. They're also pursuing Jarrett Jack.
Jarrett Jack, point guard
from New Orleans. They're throwing Steve Blake out there and a pick. Andre Blatch for
it's looking
Steve
grim.
Luke Walton. So, you know,
it's just looking grim.
Let me put this
out
there for you guys.
There's not really that much out there. Let
me put this out there for you guys. And I wrote about it on fansmanship.com this week. But the idea is that if they're grasping at straws and if they're having to give up something to get some interest in this team, to try to make this team better, I don't know that anything that they could give up, they're going to get anything better back, especially if they're not getting Dwight Howard. So why not go for Gilbert Arenas, Agent Zero?
Give Gilbert a shot. Well,
give him a shot.
You know what that actually,
if you're kind of scoffing at Steven Jackson, then why are you pro Gilbert Arenas?
Because you're going to have to give up too much to get Steven Jackson, I feel
okay,
like.
Okay, listen.
Right?
If you had to get rid of Barnes and Luke Walton.
Okay, yeah. Barnes and Luke Walton, great. But if you're talking about getting rid of Gasol or Bynum.
No. Then they would never do that.
Kobe Bryant to
I would put it past Jim Buss at this
if
point.
If you want Kobe Bryant to suddenly retire at the end of this year, pick up Agent Zero. Because those two will battle for shot totals. Agent Zero has no shame.
Yeah.
He'll come in and he'll just ice out Kobe.
He's not that kind of player to kind of take the backseat. We saw that in Orlando when he came into Orlando. He got traded from Washington and they tried to make him into a role player and he wasn't able to do that.
My point wasn't X's and O's. My point was interest. And if you're a middling sixth seed like the Lakers are right now, you might win one. You know, everybody says, ooh, get him into the playoffs. Yeah, okay, great. Get Kobe into the playoffs. He goes 6 games against Oklahoma City and loses. This team is not with Ron, or excuse me, Meta World Peace, the way that he is. I think the best reality show on TV, if the NBA wanted to get, if the Lakers wanted to draw interest, they would pick up Arenas. Can you imagine Arenas, Kobe, Meta World Peace on the same team? And then guess who else is a free agent right now looking for a team?
Who, Owen? Who?
Hello.
Do you have the answer?
No.
Do you have the answer?
I said, who, Owen? Who?
The answer.
The answer.
All right. Iverson.
And can you imagine all four of them on the same team? Come on. Let's go.
The thing is that you need to consider, too, people
the irony of the NBA world.
That would be incredible.
The Lakers,
tell me that wouldn't
the
be
Lakers
incredible.
Get rid of Lamar Odom because of his Kardashian show, and then they therefore become an even greater
That's
joke
what I'm
on
saying,
television.
Dude. That's exactly what I'm saying.
But I don't think you want to count the Lakers out quite yet because look at the Pacific. Okay, the Clippers were the hot team. Now that they've lost Billups, it seems like they've lost kind of one of their arms. They've lost a limb somehow, and they're only out there with, you know, three out of four of them. But the Lakers, I think they're only a game and a half to two games behind them right now, and we're only a third of the way through the season. So the Lakers could still win the Pacific. They could still be a top three seed. Who else do they have to compete with? You know, the Suns.
A top three seed?
Because all the division winners.
You think they're
going to
pass the Clippers?
Yeah. Why not?
I don't think so.
Why not? Yeah. They're only a game and a half behind. They were supposed to be so much better. No. The Clippers are like five games up on them, and now that they've lost Billups, they fell back to.
Luke says no.
A game and a half to two games. And we're only a third of the way through the season.
I think that that's a possibility.
Okay, but you have to think about this. The Lakers aren't scary at home anymore. So even if they were a
three
seed.
They're not scary anywhere.
I like what Owen says.
Their record at home is actually good.
I know, but in essence, they are a 6 or 7 seed when it comes to playoff time. Because
talent-wise.
Even if they were a three seed, I could see a 6 seed like the Clippers coming in who play on that same court, basically, and ruining them.
Don't get me wrong. Yep. It would be a challenge. It's going to be a challenge for them no matter who they play in the first round. To win that series, but I still think that, you know, don't count them out just yet as they are. I mean, you get Gasol and Bynum on a roll at the same time. Who knows what can happen? Those are the two best big men in the league as a team.
But I do see your point, Andy. The Clippers are sitting at 19-10. The Lakers are 18-12. And then after that, you have Golden State at 11-17.
Right. I mean, the rest of the Pacific is just a joke. Speaking of the rest of the Pacific, what about Steve Nash? You think the Lakers have a chance to try to acquire him from Phoenix?
According to Steve Nash, absolutely not. No, Steve Nash has said, and you got to like this about the guy. He said, I'm going to stick it through with these guys. I've been here for long enough. I'm going to be loyal. And, you know, it's sad to think of Steve Nash not winning a championship. But, you know, we've kind of talked about it before on this podcast. Championships don't necessarily make somebody great. A person can be great sometimes without a championship. It's sort of like Dan Marino, right? Dan Marino's great without a ring.
What about the idea of going and getting some of the players that were involved in the original Chris Paul deal when he was going to go to L.A. and then who was it that was coming from Houston? You had Luis Scola, Kevin Martin, and Goran Dragic, a point guard that used to back up Steve Nash that definitely is talented, going to L.A. in exchange for Pau Gasol, and I believe it was Matt Barnes.
So Gasol and Barnes for Scola. How old is Scola?
I think he's like late 20s. I think he's like 28.
I think he's 30.
I was going to say he's about 30.
I don't. As much as I like Scola, I don't think he'd be a step up from Pau.
He's definitely not a step up from Pau, but Kevin Martin and Dragic –
but
would
how
upgrade
would, how
your
would,
small forward and point guard positions
how would
that
Kevin
are ranked?
Martin yeah, mix with
see,
Kobe Bryant.
I don't see Kevin Martin. Scorer. I don't see Kevin Martin being the upgrade there, but I see Dragic as maybe being worth it.
It's better than what they have at small forward. Right now, the Lakers point guards are ranked 30th in the 30th.
That's what I'm saying.
I totally
agree.
I said
the Dragic, small forward position is ranked 26th out of 30th in the league right now.
But we have to be real
Kobe
for a second.
Kobe, right? Second in the league. Powell's fourth and Andrew's sixth
but
at
we
their
have
position.
To be, we have to be
then
real.
You got 26th and 30th?
I know, but we have
that's
to be,
the problem.
Technically on paper, that sounds great, but we have to be realistic. Kobe Bryant is Kobe Bryant. You think Kevin Martin comes in and starts dropping 30 and want?
No,
I mean,
he's
Kevin
not
going to
drop 30,
scorer.
But he can score.
But that could cause problems. Think
Luke
about
Walton,
it.
Luke Walton, Meta World Peace,
Kevin
and
Martin,
Barnes. Are
I'm
not,
saying
Kevin Martin is Gilbert
sense.
Arenas light mentally.
Well, Kevin Martin, I don't think has maybe the
he has no defense.
The self-centeredness of
but he has no
zero.
Defense. He doesn't
but
play.
All deep. He is a scorer.
Correct.
Kevin Martin, if he doesn't score, he's worthless.
Correct.
Kevin Martin's going to come in. All he knows to do is score. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have Kobe Bryant, who obviously is on a mission this year. And I don't even know if it's even a good mission, in my opinion.
Nope.
But he's on some kind of a mission. He's trying to prove to the world I'm still the greatest or whatever. I just can't see Kevin Martin coming in and mixing with Kobe Bryant. It's sort of like when the answer in Philadelphia had the whole Jerry Stackhouse era, and they both were shooting 30 times a game, and it was garbage.
But don't you think that Kevin Martin could defer to him? Because Kevin Martin, what has he done? Yes, he's a scorer, but he's never done anything. So what you know, shoe does he have to wear to come in and garner the ball from one of the greatest of all time?
I agree. You know? I agree with you, but
you
I think
he's a guy that can kind of just get in where he fits in and still score though, and be a guy that can put up 15 a night. That's a lot better than what they have, which is absolutely nothing. Which you can't count on anything from the small forward position.
Okay, I'm
going to
give you a perfect example. Was when they tried to make Glenn Rice work, and Glenn Rice didn't necessarily fit in. He gave them a shooter, and they won in 2000 with Shaq and Kobe. But you know, Glenn Rice clearly was not happy. I mean, he was coming from the Hornets, dropping 27
a game.
Being
there necessarily, even if they were winning, even though they won the championship.
No, he didn't. No, he was that 27, 28 point guy from the Hornets who was a perennial All Star, and he came in, he was dropping 14. You could tell he was bothered by that.
Well, even though they were winning, like every single game they played,
And, you know, because, you know, it would sound great that you're winning, but you know, these guys have egos the size of Texas.
Which is why, and I'll say it again and again. The move to get rid of Ariza and get Meta World Peace
was horrible.
Was the worst decision that the Lakers have made in the last 5 years.
They should have paid Ariza. Instead of just saying,
I totally agree with you.
Because Ariza fits in. He doesn't need his shots. He doesn't go mental when he doesn't get his scoring.
Yes.
And he's athletic and he gets all the other things involved.
He gets in the open court.
Next to Kobe, he was perfect.
Yes, because he was. And if you followed Ariza post Lakers, he's nothing really. He's a good defender.
He's a 12 point
game guy. He really fit in with the Lakers. You're right, because
he's a spot up shoot. He was shooting really good.
There it was.
Yeah,
he would just play.
They got
spots.
Rid of him right when he finally learned how to shoot from long distance. Because when he was first
so
with the Lakers, he didn't have
so
any,
frustrating.
You know, and then he was starting to make them.
And sometimes I watch Ebanks, and he looks like him. He's got the same number, but he just it's not there.
He's 6'9", but he's 6'9". That's the difference.
There.
If he puts on a few pounds,
6'7".
He was only 6'7".
Yeah, with the wingspan of about 7'4".
Ebanks is still growing, though. Ebanks is young. He's only, I think, 22.
Okay.
So he can still fill out and become a
powerful. I watched a lot
forward.
Of Ebanks when he was playing at West Virginia, and I really liked him. But I'm going to tell you right now, his game to me is more college bound than it is
totally.
Pro bound.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to ever fit in. Really.
That translation from college to pro.
He was a good college player.
So we got a lot coming up here. We're going to come back on the Fansmanship podcast, and we'll be playing. Actually, first of all, we're going to talk about the baseball season, the upcoming fantasy baseball season.
We forgot
season,
about the elephant in the room, though. Jeremy Lin.
The insanity.
Incredible.
We'll be right back.
Insatiable.
Ooh, I like that one. And you got one, Luke, or should we need to go to break?
Let's go to break.
It's starting to get Lin tolerable. Yeah. I'm telling you.
We'll be back. Fansmanship podcast here on fansmanship.com.
A sweat-stained glitter Simmons wig.
So what is fansmanship.com?
Say what?
We're a sports website by the fans for the fans.
He wants to be a Laker.
For the Central Coast.
Catch the ball.
California.
A sweat-stained glitter Simmons wig.
And beyond.
Tim Tebow.
We love sports. Fansmanship.com. By the fans, for the fans.
Flashing clip-on nipple piercing and pink or purple tanning thong for absolutely free.
Yeah. Fansmanship.com. By the fans, for the fans.
Luke, is that you playing the flute?
Whenever I hear that, I always think it's like some little leprechaun. With like
yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah. Up in a tree.
Thanks to Miles Davis for that smooth track. You're back on the Fansmanship.com podcast. Andy Stevens is over there. Luke Johnson.
I'm thinking baseball. I'm really excited. No more than 9 days, pitchers and catchers report to spring training.
You know, everybody's got the Super Bowl hangover right now. And it's something.
Not me at all.
No, I know. A lot of people who claim to be football fans have this thing called the Super Bowl hangover, and I'm excited. This is for me.
Those are people that think baseball is boring. That just don't get it.
What is that?
They don't get it. They don't understand the game.
That's like, what it is. And you know, and right now you and I sound like elitist
or old people.
No, we sound like elitist.
Just people who like baseball that understand the game.
But it really bothers me when people say it's boring
because
it's true that they just don't get it.
It would be boring for them.
No, they just don't get it.
But it would be boring for them because they don't get it.
But they act like they get it. And it's just correct. Boring.
Like Cowherd, he goes, oh, well, why is their pitchers hitting? It doesn't make any sense, you know? Why not just put a DH in both leagues? It's like hitting a home run is not what the game is all about, you know? There's a lot more things that go into it. It's like some baseball fans enjoy the art of bunting and bunt defense and, you know, infield play and things like that. That's just as exciting to them as hitting the ball over the wall for some fans, and that's what some people don't understand about baseball fans.
And what frustrates me when people talk about baseball or other sports, and you mentioned Colin Cowherd, and I think he's a prime example of this, is when the media or the media numbers are the story. I don't care how many people watched an event. I don't care how many. What am I supposed to do? Not watch it because nobody else does, even
since
though I enjoy
when,
it?
Yeah, since when did like Fox?
That's a good point.
Sports,
since when is that
news.
A story to me?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I like, agree with you. So like, you know,
just ratings, the slaps.
Overnight ratings.
Yeah. Like, why do we care if the like CEO of Fox is like, hey, we don't get as many people watching baseball?
I don't give a crap.
Why do I care, Mr. Billionaire? No, seriously, why do I care?
Yeah. Fox, drop
and I know
it.
That.
Drop it. Have someone else pick it up. People
I know it's important to other people. Whatever, I get it that it's important to some people's livelihoods, but I don't try to tell everybody else about, you know, whatever happens at my job or whatever happens at your job. You know, you're not going the next day and saying, ooh, this is kind of related, so I'm going to tell everybody about it because it must be important to everybody. It's the narcissism of the media is what I call it.
It's so limpishly vapid when people vapid.
That's deep in that vocab.
When people, because I had to think of this, because when people actually, like you're saying, Owen, try to use that as an argument to describe the sport in totality.
You
like,
moron.
Hey, you know,
that's the short
version. People don't watch, you know, people don't watch it enough, and there must be a reason, because baseball is more boring or not as great as football or basketball.
No, it's because baseball doesn't have the casual fan. It has the fan that's the hardcore fan.
Yeah.
It's very much a polarizing sport in the way you either love it or you hate it.
Yeah, and that's okay. You know, I don't know that it'll ever be anything more than that, you know, and I think when it tries to become more than that in today's society, it loses the value that it actually has. Anyway,
definitely.
We're getting kind of off topic, but the season's
pitchers
coming
and catchers,
up. Pitchers and catchers
days.
Are reporting. Luke, tell me something I don't know about your Angels and how they're going to be this year.
Fun facts about the Angels.
They have Albert Pujols, but what else?
Yeah, they have
Albert
Pujols.
What else should I be looking at this year?
I would pay attention to the Kendrys Morales situation because
Kendrys Morales, of course, is their first baseman slash
DH, who's broke everything you can think of.
But how did he do it?
He tore years ago. He tore knee ligament.
Yeah, he's just
stepping on home plate.
Yeah, celebrating.
And the guy 2 years was thought of as one of the top first basemen in all of baseball.
Totally.
He was a 35 home run guy, hit .320. Anyways, so I would pay attention to that situation because he could be prime trade bait come July. But even more so, I would pay attention to Mark Trumbo, who's going to be forced to play third base.
Is he really?
What is he by trade?
Is that what they're
going to
do?
That I mean,
what is Trumbo? He's a first baseman, naturally.
He's a first baseman, but you know, bringing in a guy like Pujols who demands, I want to play first base.
Right,
you play third base.
Pujols played a little third with the Cardinals.
Pujols is not,
but he's 30. He's 32.
Not in the AL. No.
Yeah, he's 32.
Trumbo's a young guy. They're gonna say, here's where you're gonna get at bats.
So here's why it is interesting though, because Trumbo has been quoted as saying, the last time I played third base, I was playing varsity baseball in high school.
Oh, there you go.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, guys have to make sacrifices, so that'll be an interesting story to follow.
Third base is not as tough as even learning how to play first base. Third base is more of just a reactionary spot.
Repetition.
Know, repetition of some basic things.
Yeah, repetition. Throwing to second, throwing to first, bunts. You know, those are the three.
Are they still got Kiaspo? Is he going to play second? Is that what's going to happen? And then Ibarz the shortstop?
Kiaspo's out if he plays third.
Out.
And who cares? I mean, the guy hits .270. And
well, who's going to play second?
It's going to be Meisser and
Turris.
Yeah, it's going to be Turris and Ibar over.
Whoever thought Meisser would be better than Cesar? I really liked Cesar as Turris back in the day.
Dude, Mighty Mouse is actually pretty solid.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He's surprisingly.
I didn't think he would be better than his. I think they're cousins or half brothers.
And then
something.
They got what are they going to do left and right? What did they do last year? They put Vernon Wells in left.
They had Vernon Wells in left.
And Torii Hunter in right, and then they played. Bourgeois and
Trout.
And then who's
so there's actually
is
another
it Bourgeois?
Story.
Is that how people are pronouncing it?
Yeah, Bourgeois.
I've heard.
Bourgeois.
Okay, so
Bourgeois is going to play center.
He took on the French pronunciation.
Bourgeois is going to play center field.
That's how the name's supposed to be said, right?
Isn't that
Bourgeois?
Torii Hunter.
I've heard that more.
Torii Hunter.
People don't know how to speak French.
Bourgeois. Yeah, but he's going to play center. Vernon Wells will play left. Torrey, because he's getting old, is going to play
Who's
right.
Who's the other guy? I believe it was number 77 that's kind of the pinch runner, also plays a little center.
Muy Rapido? He's very fast.
He's not going to play over Bourgeois, is he? I can't remember his name. Willits. Reggie Willits.
Yeah, you know,
that's
Willits.
That's a sweet baseball name, by the way.
Yeah, you know, a couple years ago, he was one of the big prospects. But since they've had these guys like Trout come in, Conger, Bourgeois, Willits.
That's the other question.
The
what are they going to do behind the plate? Because Conger kind of had some issues last year where Socha sent him back down.
Actually made a nice move that I liked. They actually traded for Iannetta.
Oh, that is a good move because he's a good defensive catcher. Yeah. He played on a USA baseball team when they played in the World Baseball Classic last time. So he definitely brings something to the table defense, and that's what Socha wants. So
I would say the two biggest things to watch, besides obviously Pujols, because that is big news.
Sure.
Three things. Watch Morales' health. I think he could be prime trade bait come July. Obviously, watch Trumbo at third. Is he going to be error-free or vice versa? Hopefully not. And then, speaking of all the young guys they have coming through, because Torrey Hunter is getting old, how often will Trout play? That's sort of interesting because Trout is their big prospect. And Bourgeois has already established himself, but Trout hasn't.
Got it. And Trout's an outfield prospect?
He's a right fielder.
Is he a big power hitter?
He's like a five-tool guy. Yeah. He's had moments. Put it this way. Torrey Hunter has said Trout is a legitimate five-tool guy.
Oh, wow.
And when you have someone like Hunter playing right and you have someone like Wells playing left, look for one of those guys to get a bump or a bruise or a nick.
Yeah,
at
those
some
guys
point
aren't
going to
be healthy
season.
All year.
So that's where
There's
Trout
no
steps
way.
In. Yeah. And for him to get at-bats, they probably should start him out at AAA just to start the season. That's what I would do.
And really quickly, does anybody else find – I mean, this has probably been gone over by all the message boards, and I'm just, you know, a little slow to the table here. Right, ironic, you know, with their history of one of the best outfielders in their history, Tim Salmon, and now we got a Trout who's coming next. I don't know. Maybe that's
Tim Salmon. Okay.
Salmon Trout. Wow. You know, I don't know.
Let's talk about the Dodgers. Gosh, wow.
Smelt.
Hey.
Johnny Smelt. He's in singular right now.
We have two Dodger fans in the house.
Hell of it.
In the house. Tell me some interesting things about the Dodgers. What are you guys anticipating?
Well,
nothing.
Yeah,
we're anticipating nothing.
So here's the thing.
I'm anticipating April 14th. It's Dodger Stadium replica night.
One of the guys on ESPN, Verducci, or you know, one of those guys. He's an SI guy, but one of those guys posted like the best off-season moves, the worst off-season. The only thing that the Dodgers got any votes in were like 8th place for the worst offseason. Nobody cares about the Dodgers this year. And it's because that they've gone through everything with their ownership. Everybody's assuming they're going to be
a non-factor.
And
what is the deadline of sale for the team? Isn't it April 24th or something?
Yeah, something like that. And what's really, the Dodgers for the last 5 years or so have kind of been this chic pick to actually do something. You know, win the NL West, get to the World Series, so forth. And they have a couple of years, won the West, and they won a playoff series or two. What we want to look at, though, this year is that nobody really cares. And nobody cares because they haven't made any big moves. They never did step up. The biggest move they ever made from a trade perspective was either Manny Ramirez, which they didn't have to do anything for. They traded for Casey Blake, which they gave up. Is it Santana? Right, Carlos Santana,
the catcher,
and look gosh, they would love Carlos Santana on their team right about now, and so you know this idea is that the Dodgers haven't done anything to make themselves noteworthy over the last 4 or 5 years. McCourt's going out,
and that's,
everybody's
and,
waiting,
but that's
of
part
those.
Of it. Okay, they did a great thing to re-sign Matt Kemp long term, and that's like signing a free agent. That's
sure.
like going out
okay.
and doing that.
Yeah,
I'm not happy with the way that they're treating the Kershaw situation. Only signed him for 2 years.
2 years.
Instead
of going to arbitration, so Kershaw's getting a little more money now from them.
But
the hope is always when you sign a guy like that for 2 years, instead of going to arbitration for maybe a little more than he would have gotten arbitration, then it makes him feel good about being there. And he feels good about maybe
it's an olive branch
signing
so
later
speak.
On.
But unfortunately, when you're a guy like Clayton Kershaw who wins 21 games last year with a team that poor.
And he's, what, 23 years old?
Yeah.
It's the whole Tim Lincecum syndrome here. I think Lindsay signed a two-year deal a year ago with the Giants.
Right, same thing.
To avoid arbitration. But everyone knows
at the end of this year,
probably out out of San Francisco.
The difference is going to be this, that San Francisco fancies themselves as a small market who can't afford him. If there's a Dodger buyer who can spend $1 billion on the team and still afford to sign Kershaw for 7 years or something, that's what
San Francisco tries to do that.
I'm not saying that.
But that's just their... Yeah. Trying to be that persona. They're not really a small market team.
Look, I mean, I'm not saying
they sell out every game. They're going to spend some money.
I'm not saying that Kershaw, you know, couldn't be a Dodger for, you know, the next 8 or 9 years.
God, I hope he is, yeah.
But I'm just, you know, saying realistically,
they're going to have to pay for him.
There's a strategy.
They will.
They're going to have to pay for him.
And also,
you know, he could be a Red Sox or a Yankee in a couple of years.
Don't say that.
Could be.
You know, I'm just,
no.
I'm just saying.
It's okay. Like, no.
It's the hard reality.
The Dodgers don't have any other big names really other than Matt Kemp. So I think Matt Kemp and Kershaw are going to be priorities for the Dodgers.
Well, what if Ethier actually comes back?
Well, that's what I was going to get into. Now you sign Ethier to a one-year deal. But Ethier is starting to break down a little bit. He has multiple injuries. I believe he hurt his ankle and he broke a pinky that was a problem for him.
The last couple of years.
So they're kind of making Ethier reprove himself, which I think he will. Now, will he hit 30 home runs? Nah, I don't know about that playing in Dodger Stadium, but he's definitely going to have a better year this upcoming season than he had last year.
Listen, for the Dodgers to be good, and here's you asked kind of what to look for with the Dodgers. If the Dodgers are going to be good, Kershaw has to win at or near 20. Billingsley's going to have over 15 wins.
Gosh.
And Kemp's going to have to match last year.
Yeah,
Kemp's going to have to match last year. Ethier's going to have to match 2 years ago. Loney's going to have to hit 20 or 25 homers.
So you're basically saying you guys are going
to
suck.
I'm saying that for them to be successful,
you're saying realistically you guys are not going to be anything more than like maybe a 500 club.
If they win 85 games, I think that'll be another...
You'll be happily impressed.
I won't be happily impressed.
But what's going to win
the West? It won't be the players' fault.
But think about...
That's what these players will get you.
But think a little bit further outside the box.
85 games.
What's going to win the West?
90 games.
Okay, so they win 85 and they play like, you know, horse dung, or they play just slightly better and maybe they have a chance to win the West.
Saying,
I don't think all those things that you list have to happen for them to win the West. It's not like they're up against the Yankees and the Red Sox and
everything has to fall into place.
They're not the Tampa Bay Rays where everything has to fall into place perfectly.
Who do we have starting? We have Kershaw, Billingsley.
You have Capuano, I think, said that. Capuano.
Aaron Harang.
Stop.
Nate Eovaldi, who's a guy that they brought up from AAA last year that has some pretty good stuff. Oh, Ruby De La Rosa.
Is he going to start or close?
I don't know.
Hey,
he's not going to close because the closer right now is going to be Jansen. That's the
now, what about the kid with the first baseman, right?
Javi Guerra, yeah.
What about the kid that you actually wrote an article about him like quite some time ago, last April?
Sands.
Oh, Jerry Sands. He'll probably play left. He needs at-bats more than Tony Gwynn or Jerry Hairston.
Yeah, two crappy signings.
So, you know, I hope Sands gets the at-bats so that we can actually see what he has, you know, because now is the time where you kind of need to try and rebuild a little bit.
Because I'd rather lose... I'd rather only win 75 games or 70 games and learn about Jerry Sands. Not that it's going to make that big of a difference,
uh-huh.
But I'd rather win 75 games and learn about like guys like Sands and De La Rosa and some of these younger guys. Because I don't think you're going to win 90 games with this team. And so
probably
let's play
not,
the young guys and let's learn about them and at least get something out of this season. At 85 wins and missing the playoffs by 3 games and still not knowing about Sands and still not knowing about these guys is not where I want to be at the end of the season.
It's a wasted season.
That's not where I
want to
be at the end of the season.
Now when did Frank McCourt buy the Dodgers? Do we know that stat there?
2004?
Yeah, 2003, I think.
Okay.
And then the next few years after that, they ended up winning back-to-back.
That bastard just ran that team to the ground. But, you know,
they didn't get to the World Series.
It's really unfortunate when I'm looking back at recent Dodger history, you know, that 95 to 2000 era when you had those great players come through, Mike Piazza, Eric Karros.
2004, yeah.
El Cañon.
Sort of that pre-McCourt era, right before the McCourt era. It's really unfortunate you guys couldn't string at least one World Series.
That's the Fox era, man. That's talk about lost time. I mean, lost it.
I mean, thinking of the players that you had come through compared to these players
you have
now.
They made the playoffs a couple times, but the Braves were in the way, and they were, you know, a great franchise. It was always there.
Again, it's that lack of ability to sign that next guy, to sign that one guy who's going to
Would you say, Owen, that like the last 20 years, the Dodgers have lost that...
Here's what I'll say. Yes.
That luster that
they used to possess. Here's what they've lost. They've lost Cajones. And they've lost Cajones as an organization.
Is it just that? Or is it that players don't
O'Malley
even want to
They signed Strawberry, bust. Eric Davis, bust. They signed Kevin Brown in the beginning of the Fox era. And since Kevin Brown, they've been shy about signing any free agents. And the media has been okay.
Sheffield didn't want to be there.
Sheffield didn't want to be there, but they still signed him.
Holy cow.
Sean Green they traded for, right? So a lot of these guys they traded for. But
it always seems to be these guys who are second best.
Yeah, these guys who are on the downturn, they never get the top level free agents even considering.
Yeah, like
since Kevin Brown, you know, nobody's even considered.
They're afraid after
for instance, about 2 months ago, I was having beers with my cousins who are like you guys, diehard, you know, Dodger fans. And we were talking about the Pujols signing. And they were just asking me these questions like, I understand that Pujols obviously probably wouldn't want to be a Dodger, but why not even like, where were those lingerings or those hints that they were even...
There is a specific reason now, and it's because they're for sale.
Exactly.
Well, there is a specific reason now, and that's why.
But I think the question goes beyond what's now.
Even if they weren't for sale... They still wouldn't have been going after Pujols. And that's the big problem from my perspective.
But hopefully that's going to change with a new owner.
2 years ago, when they traded for Casey Blake to fill their third base role, right? They could have signed guys before that year, okay? A couple years before that year. They've had opportunities leading up to there. And everybody, Casey Blake. Casey Blake was a fine with the Dodgers. Casey he was a Blake. Good player. That being said...
He lived up to whatever hype that he had.
Yeah, he did what he was expected to do.
He was an average third baseman. He wasn't below average.
He's average.
No, he was, average. Yeah.
I'll give him that.
Maybe even like 60th percentile. Yeah, 65th. Okay, yeah.
Close.
That's still normal range.
I'll go close. Yeah. I think 1 year he did have 20 home runs.
But there have been guys who've come up and guys who would seem like they would fit really well with the Dodgers. When Carlos Delgado became a free agent towards the end of his career and he got signed by the Mets, that would have been a perfect pickup for the Dodgers. And I think Delgado, did he go to a World Series with the Mets?
In 2000.
With Piazza, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm saying that there have been...
And he was good for about 5 years.
Been opportunities... to sign guys, and they've failed miserably. And my hope isn't that this year they'll sign anybody. I know I don't have that expectation.
No.
My expectation is that in 2 years, when a big name free agent comes on the market, that they're bidders for that person.
Well, hopefully this new ownership will allow that. Hopefully,
don't spend all the money they have on just buying the team and McCourt just.
Paying for my parking lot. I still want the parking lot. It's like, get out of town. Just get out. Just go. You get nothing, okay?
I have a hard time even
buy it for $1.5 billion. Now get out. You know, you can't hang out here anymore.
Be gone.
No one wants you here in town. Beat it.
I've kind of gone back and forth. If McCourt still owns the parking lot, how am I going to get there? Because I still have to walk through his land, and I don't know if I want
to
do that.
And he's going to be able to do whatever he wants with the parking lot. You know,
I don't want to step on it.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't he just cut ties? Just take his dirty fingers off of this. Because entire
he's a dirty
defunct
person.
Project.
He's gonna have like flea markets there.
He is,
when the Dodgers are on the road, LA Marathon, and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's bad.
But just real quickly around the rest of the diamond, they're gonna have D. Gordon at short. Mark Ellis, who they acquired from, I believe he's
A's.
He was on A's Rockies.
Not
course,
a bad pickup.
Of course, Loney at first. But the real question is catcher. They're in trouble. They got AJ Ellis, Matt Trainer, who they signed, who was a backup.
Did they sign Barajas yet?
Tampa Bay. No, they didn't sign Barajas yet.
He didn't sign anybody else though.
Tim Federitz is his name. He's from AA. So those are their three guys coming in to spring training. So that's looking very bleak.
They got rid of that outfielder last year, Trayvon Robinson, who is actually going to be good with the Mariners. You watch.
He was good to end last year. Last 2025
like 280, 290.
How was the guy at short? Is he any good?
D. Gordon's
baby
good.
D. Huh?
He is,
baby D.
He's the fastest guy in baseball. Okay. Faster than.
But so was Tony Gwynn Jr. for a while. So
was he?
He was.
Was he? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
He makes Tony Gwynn Jr.
He was a steals
like
guy.
Me.
He can get down to
on the bases.
He can get to first like two steps sooner than Tony Gwynn. Yeah. I mean, he just has
that
long
quick.
Strides. Oh, man. Yeah.
It's insane, dude.
He's quick.
I saw him play in Colorado last year, and it was pretty incredible. But I was going to say that behind the plate, you know, Federitz or whatever, he was the second best catcher that they could have gotten in that deal. Boston wouldn't even let them have their best catcher prospect.
Right. Yep.
He was the second best catcher in their minor league system, and they gave up probably their top two or three guy in Trayvon Robinson in their system to get him. I don't know what Trayvon Robinson did to get himself kicked out like that out of town. Maybe he did something bad. I don't know. We'll never know. But
maybe there just felt like there was so many guys in front of him in line. You know, they had Kemp, they had Ethier, they had Sands, they had Gwynn, they had Rivera.
But Sands and Gwynn and Rivera are all unimpressive. Right. I could see Ethier.
Yeah.
Give Trayvon I would have loved to have seen Trayvon and D. Gordon in the same lineup.
Well, the problem is that I think Ned Colletti, he felt like he had already...
Insert Godfather music here.
Yeah. He had already spent his money, so to speak, on all these other players. Uh-huh. And he just felt compelled that this is the one piece that I have that is interesting. I need to use it to get something
what?
Else.
A stupid cat. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Tim Frederick will be.
We'll see.
Good,
he's invited to spring training. We'll see. He might be able to beat out Ellis. Who knows? Yeah. Who knows?
What would it take to beat out Ellis? A six pin back.
And then his brother Mark Ellis comes in from second base. You're not taking his spot.
All right, guys.
They have several Ellis's this year.
Many, four. Many Ellis-I. All right. We'll be back.
Name game.
With the name game, fansmanship.com podcast.
The other day was extremely cloudy, and it began to pour. And when it began to pour, it started to rain. And after pouring, it became raining again. And again, and again. I am the cloud man. My clouds soar through the wind. Wind soar through me, and clouds soar through the wind. As the cloud man, I do these things. I oversee the clouds, and the clouds oversee me. When the rain comes near, the clouds come through. And the rain will always pour until it is through. The cloud man is someone who will always be there. Believe in the cloud man because he believes in you.
I wanna meet you.
Welcome back to the Fansmanship.com podcast here at Fansmanship.com. Another crunchy groove for you from Lady Ryder, Luke out of Thousand Oaks. That's Lady R-Y-D-E-R for those of you who want to look them up on iTunes.
Or anywhere else that you might look up a sweet band. Like
check them out.
Lady Ryder.
Yes, Lady Ryder.
They're not fading out.
They will be in a second here.
They're unstoppable.
Give them a second, guys.
They're unstoppable.
They're coming. Give them a second.
You got to give me a break. This
Lady Ryder versus...
This is take two, after all.
No way.
Take three.
No, they're good.
Lady Ryder versus the Moon Man.
You're golden.
Anyway.
Which one's better, the Cloud Man or the Moon Man?
I got to go with the Moon.
Yeah.
Because it's up amongst the stars.
Yeah. The Moon.
The Moon's more intense.
Also, the Moon is more polite. It says thank you at the end.
Oh, he does.
Thank
yes.
you.
The cloud man's a little more...
The moon man is a polite man. That's one thing about
him. The cloud
him.
Man knows his glory because the way he talks.
The cloud man is more like Irish, almost.
Yeah, and he's very sure in himself. You know, the moon man is more a little more humble, you're right.
A little more humble.
Yeah.
Cloud man's kind of an ass. No, not really.
Wow, Owen, wow. That's like that's like dropping an F-bomb for you right there.
Yeah, it was. But that'd be a great battle. Lady Ryder's Unstoppable Tune against the Moon Man.
It would be a good battle. Speaking of battles, we have a little segment here we're going to call Name Game, where we actually pit two ideas, two players, two concepts, whatever it may be, up against each other, and we try to predict exactly what we think will come to fruition this upcoming baseball season and the remainder of the basketball season here, guys. I like the concept. I think it's good to kind of toss it back and forth and see where we're at on certain topics.
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's go ahead and start with a little baseball. We were pontificating on the Dodgers last segment. Let's stay right there. Chad Billingsley needs to come around this season if the Dodgers are to be successful. That is without a doubt.
Sure.
More wins, pitching wins this year by Chad Billingsley, or more James Loney home runs? Over under, just to start?
Luke, I'm going to let you go first.
What's the over under here? About 12, 13?
Gotta be, right?
Yeah, I said about 12.
Billingsley is so erratic.
He is. But Loney is so consistently...
Did you just call Billingsley erratic?
Erotic, no. Well, yeah, I might be thinking about other things. But I meant erratic. I meant erratic.
Helter Skelter.
You know, Rocky had a good point on our Facebook thread. He said that it's hard to win games, obviously, if your team doesn't score runs. But Loney,
but look at Kershaw.
But Loney, but Loney hitting home runs, we all know, is the guy swings a fly swatter. Billingsley wins 12 or 13 games. Loney hits 9 or 10 home runs.
9 or 10. Okay.
What? Do I get a chance?
Go ahead,
okay,
sorry.
No, real quick.
Give me a chance. Come on.
If the driving incident over the wintertime is any proof, then Billingsley can hit other cars easier than he can hit fastballs. Pretty bad. That's two today. One more and I'm out of here.
You're out, Owen. Get out.
You lose your fansmanship card. One more. And what was the first one? And they make the really faces. You don't remember?
But I think Loney home runs. I think this is the year that he hits 20.
Oh, no.
And he gets really excited. I'm gonna go for it. That's my
20.
Dodger fan speaking. And I think if Loney hits 20 home runs.
And just you watch, Luke. He's going to come out and hit like 5 in the first month. And one's going to be like doing the dolphin, like, yeah. And then he's going to hit like 5 more the rest of the season.
That's usually the opposite with Loney, where he'll usually hit like 2 in the first like 6 months of the season, and then he'll hit like 10 last week.
Put it this way, if at season's end, Loney really does hit 20 home runs, but I never saw anything all season long. Say I was somewhere, I was in the moon. I never got to watch baseball.
Amongst the stars.
Okay? And you told me from Earth, Luke. Luke in the moon. Loney's hit 20 home runs. I would believe somebody who told me Lindsay Lohan is a virgin before I believed that Loney hit 20 home runs.
Because she believes in you.
That's how unbelievable Loney hitting 20 home runs is.
Yeah. There we go.
My Come thought on it is Loney is more consistent than Billingsley, yes, but he's more consistently average. You know what you're going to get out of Loney. You're going to get 12 home runs to 15, maybe.
With that dopey slack jaw.
The thing is, Billingsley does have the ability to win 15-plus games. If he can just make a few adjustments in his mechanics. Sure, but you know, I don't see – I mean, Loney is just more averagely consistent. Billingsley has the ability. He has more – of a chance, I believe. So I'm going to go with Billingsley here.
Okay. Bold choice.
Next on the old list here, we have something that's pretty simple. Two guys that were traded, two big hitters, the two biggest free agent first basemen this particular offseason. More home runs this year, Albert Pujols playing now in Angel Stadium or Prince Fielder playing at Comerica in Detroit. Luke?
I think Pujols throughout his career has averaged somewhere around 35 to 40 home runs a season, and until recently was fairly alone in that lineup. So if Morales is healthy, which I'll just take the risk and say he'll be healthy enough, Pujols.
I'm gonna go with Pujols. That was a tough one for you. You were kind of
This is a really hard
is
one.
Is Tiger Stadium a home run hitting?
No,
park?
No, it's not.
No, but the AL Central generally is, right.
Chicago is a bandbox.
Bandbox. Yeah. The Minnesota's new park isn't great, but for lefties, it's okay.
Yeah.
And then what's the other one in that division?
Cleveland's a bandbox.
That's a great stadium in Cleveland.
That was fun.
The answer that you're looking for, Luke. Is probably Pujols or Andy. That is probably Pujols, just because I feel like Arlington's also a bandbox. Angel Stadium's way easier to hit homers than that place in Detroit than Comerica, and it's under the assumption that Pujols stays healthy. And the only reason I would have picked Fielder would be that Pujols might get hurt because of his injury problems. Fielder hasn't had any injury problems in his career.
Yeah,
for how big he is.
It's tough for me. This is a very tough question. I think the fact that Pujols needs to get acclimated to his new surroundings, I think he's going to get off to a bit of a slow start. Although, you know, Fielder has to do that as well. But I think the fact that Detroit has Miguel Cabrera will help him. Now, I'm going to have a little caveat here. If Cabrera hits in front of Fielder... Then I say Fielder, because that means they're going to put Cabrera on more. Fielder's the guy they're going to have to pitch to. You're going to have to choose. You're going to have to
But, I mean,
pick
but,
your poison there. So if
and that's they, a big if, because they're both kind of interchangeable. You could see Fielder kind of guarding and protecting.
Fielder is Cabrera. More, you know, Cabrera is more of a three guy. Now that he's getting up there in age, he is kind of more of a four guy, but he's always hit third. Fielder isn't a guy that I don't think has ever hit third. He's always hit fourth. But who, you know, just based on the fact that Fielder has the protection of Cabrera, I mean, who's protecting Pujols? Who's his best protection as of right now? Torii Hunter?
You know? No.
Morales?
It'd be Trumbo.
Trumbo, well,
when he plays,
even worse. I mean, what has he proven? You know, he was good last year, but we'll see. I mean, that's not Miguel Cabrera.
That's not going to get Pujols pitches.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Okay.
Speaking of Tigers and Angels, more wins this season, Tigers or Angels?
Both teams who put up big money for first baseman. You know what? I feel like the Tigers are and the Angels are really kind of mirror images of each other in a lot of ways. The way that the Tigers are, I think, a little bit better than the Angels is that they have at least two superstar hitters, whereas I think the Angels really just have the one in Pujols.
Tigers are minus Victor Martinez this year, too.
Well, right, and if they had Victor Martinez, this would be a real easy one.
Right.
But they still have, you know, a lot of solid players around him. They have the Tigers pitching staff is underrated. I think where you would give the Angels the edge is in the pitching staff, but with Porcello and a couple of the other...
Fister,
yeah, a couple of these other guys. I think the Tigers.
I think the Angels. I think the Tigers score more runs, obviously.
Tigers play in a tougher division too.
But the
yep.
The Angels now with that fourth starter, that's locked down.
Who's that?
Well, they have
Weaver.
They have Weaver, Heron, Santana, and CJ.
Oh, CJ
Wilson.
Oh, that's right. They signed CJ Wilson
as their third or fourth guy now.
Okay.
I just think the Angels are going to score more runs, obviously, because they have a guy like Pujols now and a couple other guys can lay off. You know, Trumbo hit 28 home runs last year, and he was the man as a rookie. If Morales is healthy, I just think last year them winning 86 games with their staff minus C.J. Wilson and with hardly any hitting at all, to me, screams 95 to 100
wins. This would be a heck of an ALCS, wouldn't it? With the two, you know, uber spoiled brats in Boston and New York sitting at home while Angels and Detroit are.
That would be nice.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be fun. I'm actually going to go with Detroit. I don't think the addition of one guy, even if it is Albert Pujols, is going to make them so much better that they're going to win as many games as Detroit has the potential to. Because
but
Detroit's,
what about adding that fourth starter? Who's going to win you 15, 16 games that you didn't have last year?
Yeah, I don't know. I just see Detroit. The Angels have, I mean, will they be consistent? Last year, they were a good team. I mean, it's argued that they were the best team in the AL West.
The Angels don't play in the same division as the White Sox. White Sox.
I just think Detroit has a five team
division.
Going
is that right?
Now.
That's a five team division.
It is
with the Royals, White Sox,
it's a five team.
Cleveland, and Minnesota. I don't see anybody else who's going to really challenge the Tigers in that division. So,
the Angels have to deal with Texas.
With the Rangers.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah. So, I mean, it's
it's a hard
flip
one.
A coin here, but I'm just going to pick the Tigers. Moving on here, third baseman last year. You know, both of these guys are top five guys when they're
National
healthy.
League.
You know, both of them play in stadiums where not a lot of home runs are being hit. Both are newer stadiums. Both were hurt last year. Like I said, both only had about, I believe one had 12 home runs, one had 14. More home runs this year, David Wright or Ryan Zimmerman?
I'm going to go with the Z-Pack, although the Z-Pack is probably like generic at this point. There's lots of baggage behind him, right? And he's got some injuries, as does Wright. But I think Zimmerman, the Nationals picked up enough other players this year.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of all of them off the top of my head. I know they got a pitcher that was pretty solid. They got Strasburg back. I know that doesn't really help Zimmerman, but I think in a lot of ways it's going to solidify that team. And this is a year that the Nationals, I think, although they might not win the NL East, I think they're not bottom dwellers this year in the division. So okay. Zimmerman.
I'm going to go.
Also, I feel like Nationals Park's easier to hit homers than
slightly. Yes.
That new Shea or the Citibank is like
Citibank's the worst. Pretty much. It's the worst.
There's a lot of toss ups, with these questions.
That's the name of the game.
I'm going to go with David Wright. I think David Wright has something to prove. you know, David Wright kind of built his name slowly and then was glorified as one of the top, you know, third basemen in baseball. I think Zimmerman was given it a little too early.
Yeah.
So Wright, to me, has proven himself a little more. And so these last couple of years that have been down years for him because he's been hurt. Uh-huh. And people are kind of writing him off now. It's like, oh, David Wright's done. He's too, you know, he's too slow and too hurt.
He's better not be. He's one of my keepers.
But you know what I mean? I mean, a lot of people are saying that about David Wright. Yeah. It's kind of just he's done. His prime is over. I think he might have a couple of years here where he wants to prove that that isn't the case.
And what's the over-under there, about 20?
Definitely 20.
Yeah. You think
home runs? That's home runs for those guys?
Yeah.
I think it's more like 25 or 30.
25 or 30.
I think both those guys hit 25.
Yeah,
well, I can see that. I'm going to go with David Wright just because it's a biased pick. He's a keeper for my fantasy baseball team. So he bet there. You'll bet there.
Third base is a slim. It's a slim
and
position.
And you got to wonder, too, with a guy like David Wright going through all those, you know, couple years that have been rough there, having Jose Reyes, split, you know, what's. It could be kind of depressing, but like I said, I think Wright wants to prove himself. So.
Well, yeah. Jose Reyes is in Miami.
It's certainly not going to help the Mets lineup. You know, right? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Speaking of third baseman, starting to cross pollinate here a little bit. Alex Rodriguez, more RBIs next year, or the Houston Astros, more losses?
So A-Rod, does A-Rod get more RBIs?
About 100?
Or do the Astros lose more games? I think it's about 90, 85 to 90. A-Rod was hurt for a significant portion of last year. I know because he was on my fantasy team. And that was frustrating because, like I said, third base was a pretty slim position from a fantasy perspective. Yeah.
But it gets a little better this year now that Cabrera is going to be playing third.
Oh, is he? Okay. Yeah. So as far as the answer to your question, I'm going to have to go with A-Rod RBIs. I think A-Rod in the Yankees lineup, even if he only plays 100, 120 games, is going to get close to 90 RBIs, and I don't think the Astros
are going
to
be as bad.
You know what? It's a good question, though, because the Astros could lose 95 games very easily, but I'm going to go with A-Rod. I'm going to count on A-Rod being healthy, because if he's healthy in the Yankees lineup, he doesn't have to do a lot to get 9,500 RBIs.
The Astros are going to lose 100 games.
So the question is, will A-Rod have that many RBIs?
Yeah, and you guys know me. I'm never shy with certain things that I say.
Criticism, constructive or not.
Or non-constructive.
It is constructive. I could really eat these words because Owen's right. A-Rod could bounce back, but I think A-Rod's done. Yeah. He's done.
It's possible.
As far as A-Rod,
ever knew him is done, and not even A-Rod hitting like 285 with 90 RBIs. It's not going to happen. I think he's lost drive. He looks old.
So he's going to become a DH. So that's going to be like the where all the Yankees go. It's going to be go from shortstop to third base to DH to Flushing, you know, or wherever else. Because that's where Jeter's going, you know.
Right.
He's going to end up at third base and A-Rod will end up DH.
I was kind of thinking A-Rod's Jeter would always end up at second base.
Anyway, Luke.
Yeah, A-Rod's done, you think?
I think he's done.
All right.
Okay, so you're going with the
Houston Astros. Losses.
And now that Houston, are they in the American League officially now? Or no, wait.
Next year,
okay. I think. And they're wanting to change their name, too. They no longer want to be the Astros.
Because really? NASA left?
Astros
is just, it's just not, I know, they kind of want to start fresh. I don't know.
So are they going to be
I don't know. They had a poll.
I hate that kind of stuff.
They had a poll
when they change it
in Houston. For fun, yeah. They want to bring back the Colt 45s. What do you think of that?
Man, come on.
That's I don't think it's good.
No, I mean, Nolan Ryan was an
Astro. Houston Steel Reserve.
There's so much history there, you know.
The Houston Red Dogs. The Houston Pabst Blue Ribbons.
You know what I thought you were going to say? I thought you were going to say the Houston Pap smears. You almost
the Houston Schlitzes.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
The what?
Schlitz. Hams? I can go on forever with bottom of the barrel beers. Anyway, moving on, we'll stay with baseball and cross-pollinate again here. More Andre Ethier home runs this year, coming back after a season where he was injured. Or more Pau Gasol points per game.
This season. Pau is currently averaging right around
17.4.
And I think it's safe to say he might be finished around 17 to 18. Yeah. So the question is Ethier going to bounce back? 2 years ago, Ethier had the beginning of the season. He had a stretch of about 40 or 50 games there the year that they had Orlando Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
It was 2 years ago. Where Ethier looked like he was going to win the Triple Crown.
Yeah.
I mean, dude was mashing.
A home run every other night.
It was ridiculous.
It's too bad they were all solo
and walk-offs,
too, though.
And walk-offs.
and six walk-offs.
Yeah, about nine. And so I think Ethier can bounce back.
And then last
back.
Year he was hurt and he had what, 12?
I think this year with the focus on Kemp, Ethier has to learn how to get healthy. If he doesn't learn how to get healthy this year, because it's a process too. If he doesn't teach himself or figure out how to be healthy this year, then he's going to be a middling Melky Cabrera kind of guy.
Yeah.
I think, but I'm going to.
They're going to sell him for parts.
I'm going to go with Ethier. I'm going to say Ethier hits probably 20 to 25. It's honestly. He should hit 20 to 25.
He should hit 20.
If he doesn't, I'll be really, really disappointed.
And Powell's not going to reach
and
20.
I'm going to agree. I think Andre Ethier, like David Wright, has a lot to prove. He's going to hit 25 to 30 home runs.
Ooh.
And I think a guy like Pau Gasol, because he's so soft-tempered, demotes his shots, obviously, as we all know. And Kobe is, as we've said before, has volumized with his shot totals this year.
Yeah.
So sadly, I think Powell's going to slip a little bit. I don't think he'll even be at 17 at the end of the year. I think it'll be like 15 and 9.
Oh, wow.
So it's all
you could
it's
be
all
right
Ethier.
There. You yeah, could be right
it's possible.
There. I'm going to agree. I think the rise of Bynum as he definitely gets better towards the end of the year, he'll start scoring more points. I think other guys are going to step up. And the Lakers might even trade Powell at some point, and he might end up on a team where he's just going to be, you know, learning the offense and only scoring 12 a night. So Powell, like Luke said, could end up at the end of the year based on those circumstances at about 14 to 15 points per game. I think Ethier will definitely have a bounce back year, and I have him hitting like 22, 23 home runs. So
there we go.
I'm going to go ahead and go with Ethier.
Ethier could hit 30 or 35 if he has a. I mean,
35 is pushing.
He has potential.
He could hit 30.
He has potential.
He has 30 potential. That's for
35,
sure.
Yeah.
35. I wouldn't go that far.
He was really hot for that period.
Yeah.
If he's been hanging with Ryan Braun, he is 35.
Oh.
Come on, Luke. That's so not tasteful.
Ryan Braun, the guy who stole Matt Kemp's MVP.
That's so not tasteful,
cheated and
guys.
Stole Matt Kemp's MVP.
I'm sorry.
That's wow. Okay, Luke.
That's a
two more.
That's a topic for a whole nother discussion. moving on to basketball here, as we're talking about Gasol. This is kind of a hot topic throughout the NBA, the Jeremy Lin story.
Hot?
And I was trying to think of a point guard that is young, that is kind of underachieved, but could become a superstar in about 5 years. And I went with John Wall. So let's go better in 5 years, John Wall or Jeremy Lin.
Okay, I first want to disagree with underachieving. I want to say he plays for the worst organization in basketball.
He plays for the Bullets. Give him a break.
And he's averaging, what, 12 and
yeah,
eight?
But he had a great
come
year
on.
Last year.
Come
but,
on.
Yeah.
You got to be able to score.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't matter who you're playing for.
As much as I like the Jeremy Lin story, and as much as I think he will be a keeper, meaning that he will be a starting point guard for a while.
Okay.
Obviously, I mean, we can tell by now he is legit. Today his numbers were 28, 14, 5, blah, blah, blah. I want to say I think also as better is a weird term because that's, you know, that's
more
up
of a
to
superstar. More of a superstar.
John Wall because...
Picked first in fantasy drafts.
Yeah, Jeremy.
Let's say that.
Jeremy Lin... will sign an extension with the Knicks, and he'll have two teammates of Carmelo Anthony and Amari Stoudemire who will never allow him to be the star that he could be.
Okay.
John Wall, having nobody around him, as much as he will go
through
those growing pains, mm-hmm. will eventually become like a legitimate, not like Derrick Rose level, but like a legitimate star.
Because to me,
like a Rajon Rondo with more offensive capability.
There we go.
And to me, the only thing that gives Lin a chance is this opportunity to develop and change. And I think... although you can develop and change, as Jeremy Lin has proven, I think that things start, obviously, you know, the law of averages, you got to start to even out probably, especially once you get Melo back on your team.
See, that's what I was thinking with this whole question.
But can Wall develop and change? To me, I know Lin can. I know Lin can change his game to match.
What is his ceiling?
He's a Harvard guy. He's able to make himself better and to change. But I feel like for Wall, I don't know. I don't know how much he can change. Is Wall going to develop a jump shot? One player who's in the NBA now, who's actually reaching the end of his career, who did develop once he was in the league, is Derek Fisher. Derek Fisher was a below average point guard until he hurt his foot.
And he still is.
And he still is, but for a number
actually,
of years
I take
he wasn't.
That back because, again, I made myself a promise when he made that shot against the Magic.
You'd
I would
never
say a bad word
so,
about Fisher.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing about Fish. He learned how to shoot. He taught himself how to shoot. He shot. I mean, and it's a wonder more NBA guys don't get better shots over time like Fisher did. He got a standstill shot as a player, as a point guard in the NBA. He taught himself how to play a position, and that standstill shot has got him the next 8 or 10 years of his career.
But here's the difference between John Wall and Derek Fisher. John Wall's a lightning blur.
Correct.
On the court.
Correct. But until he learns how to shoot a jump shot, he is going to be a 12-8 guy.
No, I want to clarify. He's at 17, okay. 7.5 assists, okay. 5 rebounds. So, and he averages about 2 steals.
So I'm going to say Wall.
Okay, Wall. Now, okay.
Because I think he may be able to develop.
Can I also just say that Derrick Rose didn't have a jump shot when he first came in the league?
No, he didn't. Yeah.
So,
but, and it's still getting better.
When I was thinking of this question, I was trying to think part, you know, hype, all the hype that's going on right now, and then part reality. Right. Like, where is his ceiling? Is John Wall maybe too much? Should I have gone with someone else? Like, maybe who else can you think of that's an up-and-coming? Like a Kyrie Irving?
No, I like the comparison. I do. Yeah. I think
that's good.
I think okay. I think because
somebody
Jeremy
who doesn't get
Lin,
enough pub and somebody who gets way a lot.
Okay. Speaking of guys that definitely get pub, we have a couple. These last two are going to be short and sweet. They're kind of in the smart-ass department. More LeBron James NBA championships this year or Pau Gasol trades?
So,
and the over under is at half.
It's a binary question. Yes or no?
Yes or no?
It's a loaded question.
I'm going to go with LeBron championships.
Okay.
Or push. I mean, you know, I think
good.
I think Gasol could get traded too, but I think the Heat, this is their year. Everything's pointing, all signs point to this being Miami's year. And when you go on the road and you win 3 games in 3 nights in dominating fashion, like they did in the recent road trip that they had, you know, it's an opportunity that not a lot of teams have had until this year, more recently, because you don't play 3 road games in 3 nights. But Miami went in there and did it. They're at the right age. You know, they're experienced enough to have it be okay, but they're not over the hill yet. Mm-hmm. When you talk about Wade and LeBron especially, Bosch as well. I think it's their year.
Okay, Luke.
The Lakers with I'll begin with the Lamar Odom trade, look a little overeager to me to somehow figure this thing out. It's like the old crappy vehicle that the old man keeps trying to fix over and over.
totally. And you just need to leave it alone.
Because
it'll
run it's vintage.
Fine.
And
right?
So what I'm trying to say is I'm going to use that to preface this by saying it's a push. I think this is LeBron and Miami's year to win a championship. Uh-huh.
You think both happen?
And I think they're going to deal Powell like that rumor to Minnesota, which would be a horrible move because
Darren Williams.
I could just see the Lakers trying to be so desperate.
The whole enchilada from
to get Kobe to get Kobe his sixth. I can just see them being so desperate to get Kobe his sixth that in essence they end up ruining it even more.
Uh-huh. Even more, yeah.
Okay.
As opposed to giving themselves
so
a chance,
a push.
Which they would have done if they
I
kept
think
them
it's home. A push, yeah. Too. I think Mitch Kupchak needs to make something happen. I think Pau Gasol is his most tradable asset right now. I do think that he makes a deal for Pau, and they try to upgrade, if not for this year, then for next, hopefully.
I hope not.
I also do think that the Miami Heat are the favorite going into the playoffs, not saying that they're going to win it. Chicago's definitely got a chance to beat them. Oklahoma City's definitely got a chance to beat them if they end up meeting in the finals. So I'm going to go ahead and push that one. Last one, Cal Poly basketball, men's basketball right now. They're currently 6-7 in conference play. They've been on a downhill swing that is just unfathomable right now. They don't even have a winning record, and they were projected to finish third in the conference at the beginning of the season. Let's go with number of days in a week or number of Cal Poly wins in conference.
I'm going to go number of days in a week.
They're because, at 6 right now.
Because you can count on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Presently with this Cal Poly team.
Without fail, right?
You can't count on anything. I couldn't count on this team beating Mission Prep.
Okay. Wow. Wow. Big time. You know
Zach
what?
Allman would be torn right there. He'd be like, what do I do?
Do I stay? Do I purposely fail so I have to go my CM?
Yeah, so because of the fact that they still have Davis at home and Pacific at home, Pacific did win their bracket buster, but they have those two teams at home. I'm going to go with the over. I'm going to go with Cal Poly winning at least 7 games in conference because they got to win
so
one
push,
more at least.
Basically.
At least one more. But I think they're going to finish with 8 or 9 wins in conference.
Okay.
That's my thought because of the fact they have both Davis and Pacific at home and because of the fact that you know their coaching staff is experienced. Too experienced to, I think, let them lose like 4 or 5 games in a row in conference. I don't think that's happened even 2 years ago when they were, you know, kind of an up and coming team, you know, a losing streak like that. I don't think
it's interesting that like difference, you know, the different opinions around this table regarding that coaching staff. You know, you see them as this sort of
they're experienced,
motivated core, and I just haven't heard it yet from
Well, they haven't proven anything. I mean, something's definitely wrong with this team. When you blow out a Northridge team at home, granted, it was Cal Poly's best performance of the season. They scored 100 points.
They made 11 straight threes.
They only allowed 54 points, I believe it was. So you blow a team out by 46 points, and then no more than a week and a half later, you go down to their place and get blown out by about 20 points. Now, I mean, Cal Poly played their best game. Even if they didn't make all those threes, they're still going to beat Northridge on that night by about 20 points. But how do you go down then to their place and get blown out by 20? That doesn't make any sense. Well, so there's something wrong at its very core with this team.
And I
can't put my finger on
it. The thing that's baffling and that's got to be frustrating to Cal Poly fans at this point is the fact that they do have so many seniors and they can't seem to figure it out on the road. They've had opportunities. They were on the road at Long Beach and only lost by a couple. I mean, they were within a bucket in the last minute.
But now they're getting blown out by the seller of the conference.
So this is the idea that to me, when I look at the numbers, and I wasn't in Northridge and I wasn't in Greeley, Colorado yesterday when they lost to UNC. They gave up 34 points to a dude from Colorado last night. They gave up over 50% shooting.
I thought defense was supposed to be their thing too.
Correct. What's happening? They came home. So picture this. They went on a road trip, lost a lot of games, came home, and thought they had it figured out. They won two games in a row. They beat Riverside, who's a very good team. They hung in there and won another game, I think, against Irvine. By doing what? By playing defense, okay?
Uh-huh.
They come back, and the last two games, I think they've given up over 50% both games. And so you're right, Andy.
Some kind of breakdown. Something is just fundamental.
Defensively,
Coach Calero
put his shoes back on and worry about winning conferences?
When does Coach Calero tighten the tie a little bit, mm-hmm. walk in there?
He doesn't wear a tie during a game.
Oh, he doesn't?
Yeah.
Well, maybe he should, but he
cinch up his belt.
He's been doing it for
whatever. He ties his shoes better. I don't know.
Okay.
When does he make a point here that it's not a matter of when things are going to change? Uh-huh. It's a matter of things are going to change now.
Uh-huh.
So, Mr. Sophomore Audister, sophomore, right?
Kyle Audister is a sophomore. Yeah.
You're going to start tomorrow.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Say hey, you know, seniors. Here.
I'm sorry.
You will still be part of this.
You guys are getting it done.
I'll say two things in response to that. One is that UU got hurt. He's got a broken hand. Might be out for the season. Might be back for the Big West tournament. He's one of their biggest, most physical kind of wing.
He kind of fires them up.
He's a wing defender. So that's number one. I'll answer your other question.
That's saying Nahara, affects a game.
But he does. He does.
I don't know.
The other thing. He did do something like that last night, actually, in the loss. Tichnell played 24 minutes, scored, I think, 14 points, hit three threes. Played a good game. But here's the thing. Their defense didn't get any better.
But the point is you're at least putting the ball in the players' hands who are going to be there next year.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I understand.
You sort of, in a very poignant way, I don't want to say abandoned
like
project.
Malik Love.
Yeah, you sort of abandon this year's project and say, now I'm thinking of next year.
I don't think you quite go that far yet because they're still at the point where, hey, something could happen. They could win two or three in a row and then they're going into the tournament.
Yeah.
And that's what Calera has talked about.
All year.
But I don't like that.
As long as we're...
I want them to try to win
games. I don't either. I'm saying it's still could happen.
Of course.
Here's the thing I think, the other thing that's kind of baffling is the Love thing. Malik Love is a big, strong, sophomore who played a lot last year at point guard and who was forced to step in and play a lot of minutes along with Jamal Johnson last year at point guard. With Furman there this year, hasn't got a lot of minutes at the point and kind of hasn't really found his role. At the point position last year, he didn't really have to shoot it. Calera doesn't always ask his point guards to shoot a lot of threes.
Yeah.
Has tried to post up a little bit, but it seems like Big West teams scout for that now, so they know when Love's in the game, he might be in the post. Maybe they've been going away from that purposefully so that Big West teams can't scout it for the tournament. I wouldn't put a decision like that past the coaching staff either. It seems to me that what they do is they game plan for every game very individually. Some games Tichnell plays 24 minutes. Some games he doesn't play at all. Some games UU, because of who he could defend and how he could defend, played 20 minutes. And some games he didn't play at all. Here's the thing about that, though, is that by the end of the year, there's not a lot of rhythm. And so I think that's really what they're trying to find now is this rhythm, this idea of being able to play defense, stick to their guns, and still get better offensively. And right now it's totally up in the air, right? I mean, they could be in conference with a 6-7 record. They could end up, I think, as the 7 seed or the 3 seed. Anywhere between there, I think is very easily.
And I don't think it really matters where they're seated, as long as
you still gotta. What do you say? You still gotta beat those teams.
You still gotta beat Santa Barbara.
It's just a matter of when. Yeah,
Fullerton. Right. Yeah.
So we kind of got on that, but I think that's a good. I think it's a good system that Cal Poly has going, at least so far. But I just, you know, they need to turn it on right now. Now's the time. So we'll see if that happens. All right, name game done. I like how we kind of used that last one to go into another talking point.
Andy, I wanted to continue that because one of the games that Cal Poly played at the beginning of the year that they actually looked really good was when they hosted St. Mary's. The Gales were coming in, as a team that was supposed to be very good. That's been played out. They're 17th in the country. We had the Bracket Busters yesterday, and one of the games was that Murray State was at home. They held on to beat St. Mary's, but it's interesting to see kind of the difference between Cal Poly getting close to St. Mary's at home, and you know, picture if they would have won, you know. The difference between winning and losing isn't that much in NCAA, and that's the fun thing to me. Even when you beat a team by 44,
but it's preseason 46 points, games, right? You know. But I mean, hey,
Luke asked the question earlier, and you asked the question about Fullerton. About Northridge, right? They win by 40 something at home. They go there and they get blown out by 15 or 20 or whatever.
That's not a 1-point game.
This is but this is college sports. This is college athletics. It's you don't ever know. People going in,
programs are more consistent.
The very best teams. Well, yeah. The very best teams. Are you expecting
Poly to be in the top 25 all?
If you hang on with St. Mary's that long, I expect that every night.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Where's the?
You would like to get to the point where you.
That's
expect the
next
that
step for
that's
this
the next
team.
Step. Correct.
That's the next
the step.
The step
that they've made is that they can hang in there with St. Mary's.
But I haven't seen the step since St. Mary's at
any time.
I think that's what Andy's saying. Is getting blown out by a cellar dweller.
That goes on to your point. Oh well, you never know. Well, okay, so even a team that's worse could have played that game against St. Mary's.
Uh-huh.
Consistency. That's what we're looking for.
And I agree, Owen. Like they, honestly, their best stretch of the season came early when they actually had
so far. Yeah.
Okay. Fine. So far.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why I have to say that.
No, you don't. You don't. I mean, I'm just saying that.
So far, in my opinion, their best stretch were those there was a 3-game losing skid actually where they lost to St. Mary's closely, and then they almost beat DePaul, who ended up beating Pitt,
and they won at Fresno State.
Yeah. And that was even though they were 1-2, and even then, we had Scrogan on, and I talked. What?
Nothing.
You want to say something?
No.
You had that look like you wanted to say something.
Keep going.
And you know what? And even then I was talking about how, they can't beat the good teams, whatever. But I will admit that at that time, that was their best stretch of the year. Yeah. So what I'm trying to say, and I think what Andy's been saying, is you're right. Take steps to get more consistent like that. But I haven't seen any steps.
And don't take big steps backwards. Little steps backwards, sure. Understandable. That's going to happen throughout the season.
Losing close games
in
conference.
Steps where you fall off the side of the mountain.
That's kind of what I mean. I haven't seen that progression. If this team was 6-7 and I had seen a little more potency and consistency, then, I might.
Right, absolutely. Here's a question. Say, hypothetically, they win the Big West Conference.
Congratulations.
They win the tournament. They go to the big dance.
Congratulations.
Are your concerns allayed then?
Are they what?
Allayed.
Wow.
Wiped out.
Wow, I like that.
Tempered. Are your concerns about
the
program
tempered?
I'd
say 90 to 95% of them are.
Limpishly vapid.
But it's still back there.
With 3 games.
But it's still back there.
Right. With 3 games.
It's still in the back of my head for next year.
No. Because the whole motivation is getting there.
In the words,
that's the expectation.
In the words of Goldmember, then there is no satisfying you.
No, there is if there's consistency.
Smoking a flapjack.
Okay, I would agree.
Cigar
with, and I agree with Andy that I would be elated if they got there.
Uh-huh. Marble in a crepe.
That's what I want to see. But are you going to hear more praise from me regarding the coaching staff? No, I'm going to be excited they're there, and then my expectation next year is going to be even greater.
Right, And that's fair. There you go. And that's fair. Okay. And with that, we'll be right back. We have one more segment here. We're going to muse a little bit on our trip down south we took last weekend to the LA Dodgers Writers East and Bloggers and softball tournament.
We'll be back.
Not for Wisco V.
What's up, everybody? We're back. Fansmanship.com podcast. Final segment of this beautiful Sunday afternoon. Quick update from the Cal Poly baseball diamond. The Mustangs moved to 3-0 with a shutout victory over Oklahoma State.
All right.
Good low.
Six, a sweep.
6-0. A sweep. Two of them were shutouts. I think this is boding well for the Mustang baseball team and there's the start of their year, so good.
We gotta
for them.
Go check them out soon.
We do, and they're going to be at home, I think, against Santa Clara, maybe middle of this week. So, might head out to that. I think Tuesday or Wednesday night. Hey, speaking of the baseball,
the diamond,
we played semi baseball, aka softball, in the Dodger Blogger softball tournament this weekend. Mike Brown from the LFP stands for Left Field Pavilion. Mike Brown from the LFP.com put a tournament together, flew all the way out from Pennsylvania and had us out there. There were lots of teams. Sons of Steve.
How many teams were there?
14 total. There were teams representing blogs like Dodger Thoughts, Dodger Diaries.
Vin Scully's my homeboy.
Vin Scully's my homeboy. Sons of Steve Garvey. Everybody's number six.
That was pretty cool.
That was cool. And, I like that one.
And there were some random teams
Mike
there,
Shosh's,
too.
Mike Shosh's tragic illness.
MSTI. Yeah, absolutely. A lot of blogs participated. Listen, we...
And fansmanship.com.
And fansmanship.com was there. We
got routed in the first game by the eventual champion.
We had a tough draw. Dodgers.
That's what everyone said. You guys had the toughest draw of the tournament.
Yeah, and so we lost 26-16 in the first game.
Against the eventual champion.
At Tiger Stadium.
Which is not too bad. We put up 16.
We played at Big League Dreams in West Covina. And
the thing about the first game was... I mean, in essence,
I got up at 3 a.m.
we got up at 3 a.m. to go there. And I mean, we really looked poor offensively into the last inning.
Right.
You imagine had we erupted for 5, 6, 7 runs a couple times.
And every single even fly ball that the other team hit was in the gap. You know, it was never at somebody.
Those guys played.
Line drives in the gap, yeah.
There's that one guy because I was pitching. Every time this guy came up, he just hit it out. You know, it was like it was nothing. I think he hit 3 home runs. He was 3 for 3 with 3 home runs. So, but hey, it's slow pitch softball. What can you do?
Absolutely, absolutely. And so that was at Tiger Stadium. We played at Big League Dreams in West Covina. Great place with a bar/restaurant in the middle. That,
two of them,
at least
the other side too,
and that at least one of us partook in directly after the first game.
So yeah, Tiger Stadium.
It was depressing. We lose 26-16.
Fenway Park,
those spicy bloodies.
Dodger Stadium, old Yankee Stadium, Wrigley Field, and Angel
Stadium.
Cool.
It was really cool.
Yeah, really
plus,
cool place.
Plus, there was an indoor soccer/hockey rink in the middle with batting cages.
And then our second game was tight, and you know we actually should have beat that team.
That's a game that we could have and probably should have won.
We had a chance. We only had 6 seconds left before the next inning could have started or the game would have been over. And I don't think I've got the ball faster back from the catcher over and over again. It looked like they were trying to drain the clock. But
I kept yelling at everybody to hurry up.
We finally got that last out with 6 seconds left. So we had the opportunity but didn't make good on it. What was the final score of that game?
13-9, right?
13-9, I think. And you know, the bottom of our lineup kind of was up at the end of it. Uh-huh. So, you know, it's how things go sometimes in the softy ball.
It was
fun.
We
had a good time. Got some pizza in us. And soda. We're 0-2, but didn't feel so horrible and got to play the left field pavilion.
Some vodka.
Got to play the left field pavilion team and at beautiful Yoyer Stadium.
Yoyer.
The Dodger Stadium and
Yoyer.
We got up there in the first inning, and leadoff hitter got on, and
we scored 12 runs in the first inning.
The number two hitter, who happens to be me.
And then played the most lazy last inning I've ever seen.
Well, what was the score? It was 19 to...
No, it was 15 to 12.
It was 15 to 2.
Guys, I'm trying to tell everybody about my home run. Okay.
Okay.
Give me a second.
Well, I'll tell you about it because Owen comes up and he goes, you see, you know, look at all the retired numbers out there because in left field at Dodger Stadium, you know, they have Pee Wee Reese, Tommy Lasorda, so on down the line. And he goes, which one do you want? And I go, hit Tommy. Who does he hit? Pee Wee. Come on, Owen.
It's on me.
You were
right
close.
Under Pee-wee. Yeah, yeah. I was.
You're still a failure in my book.
I got back into the dugout in the top of the first inning with nobody out, and we were up 2-0 on the home run. And I said, "Okay, we can go home now. I've hit a home run at Dodger Stadium."
You know what's funny about men is, and I want to say this for anybody who ever listens to this, Owen. I told Owen after game one, because he was starting to hit him well, I said, "You were like the Paul Molitor of softball," because you don't look like a brooding figure and you come up and you're hitting home runs.
That was like Paul Molitor.
Yeah. And this guy, he's gonna deny it right now, but I could tell after that compliment, this guy believed it for the rest
of the
day.
Well, he's been playing softball for over years
but
now.
This is what's funny about it. No, I'm just saying that this is what's cool about softball, softball. Yeah. You know, Owen believed he was Paul Molitor.
Believe.
And if Paul Molitor was kind of a jerk, then I was channeling him towards Luke as well.
You got to climb the ladder there.
I could tell, after he jack him and like trot, he was Paul Molitor.
There is one pretty
incredible. That's as cocky as Owen gets right there.
Paul Molitor, which isn't too bad.
And it's still like 5%.
There is one pretty incredible picture at shortstop of the leaping skills with the ball flying over my head.
I took that.
That's a solid picture. And
you still missed it by, it looks like, about
10 feet.
Yeah. I was about 10 feet.
But you were up there. You got up.
Climbing the ladder, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I had to climb the ladder, play at home plate. God threw one from third. And he said he had to throw it high because the runner was so tall. It's like, okay, inside or outside, you don't got to throw it high. So I jumped. I got up there and got it. But I had to come down on one leg and kind of tweak my knee a little bit. So that was the downside of – but we all had our wounds.
It was fun.
We all had our wounds, I would say.
Mental or physical.
Yeah. And it's funny how when you're so young, you can just go out there and just be like, yeah, I don't care. I can wake up and do this again tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. It's like, geez, man.
After three games in a day, yeah, my obliques were hurting, my legs were hurting, my hamstrings. It was not a pretty picture.
I want to
take advantage of the time here to say thanks to all the people who played with us. Luke's wife, Ciara.
Yep.
We had Jenny Mayne, my sister. We had
Nick Marascio.
We had John Gray.
And Nick did a great job pitching that last game because I was tired. I didn't want to take any more line drives back at my face like I had to the second.
Evan was there. We had David Villalobos who was there. And the one guy we didn't know coming into the game, Enrique, turned out to be a baller. So what's up, Enrique?
He was just a cool guy. Man.
Yeah, and totally cool guy. Fresno
State
grad.
What was David's friend's name? That guy kept going, walks are sexy. Hey, no, take a walk. Walks are sexy.
Is that John?
Walks are sexy.
Yeah. Oh, it was so classic. We're in the dugout, and Owen has another Paul Molitor shot. And we're sitting there, and he's kind of drunk. And he looks over at Ciara, and he goes, you know. Oh, no. Ciara goes, oh, that was a nice home run. He goes, you know, if that's your sort of thing, if you like hitting home runs.
Because walks are sexy.
He's like, yeah, walks are sexy. That's just my thing. You know, walks are sexy.
And those guys really liked playing. They were like, come to my house next year. Come over and stay the night. They're actually partying. So,
yeah, they're like, we're going to make carne asada. They're like, well, we'll make you the best carne asada. Come to our house. We're like, okay.
The cool thing is that they're talking about doing another one even before this year is over, so not just another one next year, but maybe doing two a year.
Nick sent me the info. He's like, we have unfinished business.
All right. Yeah, and you know, of course, we're not supposed to bring organized teams and stuff, and we'll try to stick to that as best we can.
We need to keep it fun.
Keep it fun.
But it'd be cool to have Doba and Q and maybe Jesse.
Some of our other friends.
But we have to balance it well.
We
have a few ringers. Balance it well.
Yeah, absolutely, because that one team definitely had some ringers.
Yeah, that was. But that was overboard. You know,
well, and that was a team that actually the guy from the LFP just put random guys together.
But those
they didn't
guys
know
played.
Each other. They didn't
know
each
but
other.
They
played all players
year round. They were ballers.
But it's not like they planned it that way.
Okay. All right.
Don't be bitter.
It was fun nonetheless.
It was a good time.
I definitely want to do it
Brown.
Again.
Yeah, it was just fun, you know.
And we stopped in Santa Barbara on the way back. What was that place called?
It was freezing.
Taqueria. I don't care. Cold wind.
Frio.
Aire frio.
It was very cold. Really good food. And I think everybody had a great time. I actually got back in time to see the end of Pauly's game against Irvine.
You're out of your mind.
I went to the game.
You're crazy.
Owen's up at three. He's like, hey, get back. You're just like, you're riding
on his
the
Facebook,
high.
It's because I counted.
Owen's just riding
on his
the
Facebook.
High.
He's like, done it on his phone, like at Cal Poly. And it's like, gotta want it.
Gotta want it, baby. That's right. And I think I pounded so much caffeine.
And then I went to a soccer game after that.
And I pounded so much caffeine that it just, I couldn't go. I wouldn't have been able to go to sleep if I wanted to.
I went home and just went.
Yeah.
No more than 3 minutes after hitting the door.
You were done.
I was done.
Yeah, right on. All right, guys. Right well, we'll be back next time. Thanks for listening. This has been the Fansmanship.com podcast, and we're happy that you listen to us. We'll be back hopefully in a week or so. If not, then in 3 weeks.
You bet. There.
Have a good week, and we'll see you soon.
Peace. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Fansmanship.com podcast. For more news, opinions, and podcasts, go to www.fansmanship.com.
Such a man.